Hello and welcome to Walk the Pod, your daily walking show where I take my podcast for a walk because I don't have a dog. You're very welcome along. My name is Rachel Wheely, a human in the world, walking around a small park behind a large hospital in southwest London, inviting you to step away from your desk for just 10 minutes and stroll in nature to receive the incredible mental and physical health benefits of doing so on a daily basis. This is series 46. We'll be talking about slow productivity, all series, and reading the book by Dr. Cal Newport called Slow Productivity, and considering what productivity even is, how it pertains to knowledge workers, which I think counts for a lot of the workers who listen to this podcast, and wondering whether slow productivity is something that will ever be acceptable, given that many of us work in annual or quarterly reporting cycles and so on. And if you're in a completely different boat from all of this, if you are retired, if you're a student, if you work in a factory, I hope there'll be something very, very helpful in all of this anyway, because it's got a lot to do with creative pursuits. And one of the things we're working on Walk the Pod is how to be artists in the world. And slow productivity certainly applies to people who are trying to be artists in the world. So there should be something for everyone. Welcome to Walk the Pod. Slow productivity then. In series 37, we talked about productivity brackets, schmoductivity, and panned the entire concept quite hard. But we're back to talk about productivity again, and around the same time of year. So I don't know whether it's something to do with the spring that means that it seems to be a really, really good topic to discuss. But I'm very excited because the Slow Productivity book that Dr. Cal Newport has written and recently released is a It just chimes really well with everything that I think I've been trying to talk about on Walk the Pod for all the 45 series we've produced so far. And that is to say that the world is speeding up unnecessarily, and that if we can spend a bit more time on things, do things properly, think about what things we're going to be doing in the first place before we pitch into busyness, then all for the better. And there's some interesting stuff in today's episode about exactly what productivity means and why it's actually quite difficult to measure for certain types of workers. And that means that we feel like we're being more productive if we are doing lots of tasks on our to-do list. And that may not, in fact, be a proxy for productive work, insofar as it is at least producing a lot of things, but it may not be very effective work. And what would happen if we spent a lot longer working out how to do what we want to do as opposed to just trying to get it done as fast as possible? So that's the place I want to start, actually. In Dr. Cal Newport's book, Slow Productivity, which you can get a copy of via walkthepod.com if you want to, he talks about a writer called John McPhee, who by any stretch of the imagination is a very productive author, has written tens of books, hundreds of articles. And the anecdote that Cal Newport tells at the beginning of Slow Productivity is about John McPhee lying on a picnic table for 2 weeks trying to work out how he's going to tell a story he wants to tell. And the point of this is that the 2 weeks he spends lying on the picnic table are to work out how to approach a load of stuff that he's got that he wants to talk about, a certain aspect of, I think it's something very, very complex, like how farming has developed on the Mississippi River or something like that. I forget the exact topic, but he's trying to work out how to get into the story. He lies on the picnic table for 2 weeks and he's trying to think about it and trying to think about it. He's accumulated an enormous amount of material. He's conducted an enormous number of interviews. He's got lots and lots of facts and stats. And if we were taking a productivity approach to this task, the best thing for him to do at this stage would be to not lie on a picnic table, but to crank out the article and then get on with another one. But slow productivity wants to point out that what he actually did was he lay on the picnic table for 2 weeks until he came up with the rather excellent idea of using a central character to thread all of his information together with. And he told the story of the central character, and he took little diversions off to talk about other aspects of the story. And that this was a very, very effective way of telling the story, because it allowed him to thread everything together in a coherent and cohesive way. And I've read books which could have done with a better through line like this, books which were talking about an intangible sort of concept, or talking about a physical landmark or something like that, but because there was no people involved with it, it was actually very difficult to engage with, and I didn't even manage to finish the book. So the idea of working out a really good through line for your story in order to tell your story might seem like an unnecessary bit of procrastination, but actually it's very, very sensible indeed, and contributed to the fact that John McPhee is one of the most celebrated American authors, as opposed to just somebody who created an enormous amount of material over the course of their life in terms of volume of articles. And one of the things that slow productivity touches on is that if you're a knowledge worker, like, say, for example, you're an academic, it doesn't actually make sense to measure the number of papers an academic produces, because it's not about volume, it's about quality. And it's very difficult to measure productivity with quality in mind, because we don't have good metrics for it. So that's where I'm going to start. I would love to know what slow productivity means to you. I don't feel like I've started right at the beginning of the story, but that's perhaps because we've covered this topic once before. So if you want to pitch in at a random point and tell me what slow productivity means to you, or what productivity means to you, you can do so by going to walkthepod.com. You can leave me a voice note via SpeakPipe. And what's lovely about SpeakPipe is that I can respond to your voice note with a voice note. So if you do leave me a voice note, not only will it get onto the episode tomorrow, but you'll also get a message from me thanking you for leaving me the voice note. You can, if you'd like to get a personal voice note from me saying thank you for that, and want to leave me your thoughts, you can do so by going to walkthepod.com and pressing the button marked leave a voice note for Walk the Pod. What can I see directly in front of me? Well, you may be able to perceive that it is bally windy in SW17 this afternoon. Can't believe the wind that has kicked up around the park. This is the windiest day I can remember. And I think in the past, when it's been this windy, I have actually stayed inside to record because of the amount of wind noise on the pod. So I'm fortunately too far into the park to do that now. I haven't caught it early enough. So I really hope it's not too windy. Otherwise, it's not going to be the greatest podcast ever, is it? What can I see directly in front of me, apart from the trees bending over and tiny catkins storming around my head in a sort of hail of tiny green bits, which is what it feels like at the moment. It's like being bombarded with fluffy green rain. It's kind of quite a beautiful day apart from the wind, because the sky is blue and there are little white clouds scudding through it at high speed, I should add. Not a lot going on in the play park, because no tots are mad enough to drag their parents down here today. It's just too windy. There are a few students standing around having chats and lolling at each other's jokes, and wearing hoodies and carrying coffees and backpacks and so on, all of that sort of thing. And I put the Merlin app on very briefly before I started recording and captured a European goldfinch, which is a pretty exciting thing to catch, actually, because that's not the most common of birds in the UK. It's actually quite exciting to find a goldfinch. But that's all I caught. Didn't get any robins, or I didn't capture the blue tit that I'm sure I heard in the tree, because I'm getting better at bird identification now I've got Merlin to help me. So goldfinches is all I've got. So there's one of those around, and there's still a lot of work going on in the park. Still a sort of digger and a skip and a portable loo, and you know, that kind of thing. But it's pretty dry. Had a lovely weekend at the allotment, painting the shed, hanging out with my allotment pals, my new neighbours, and dismaying, that's not actually what the word I mean, despairing over the fact that every single thing I've planted over the last few weeks has been eaten by slugs, which is very, very distressing. And then trying to balance the how to deal with slugs questions of, do I use slug pellets, organic slug pellets, or eggshells, or an infusion of garlic, or do I simply come out in the middle of the night and smash them with hammers? I haven't really come to a conclusion about that yet, but I'm very distressed about the snail damage, slug damage of the little tiny beautiful green seedling plants that I planted last week, and was so happy about how jolly they looked and how joyous their little green faces were as they looked up at the sun, and now they've been munched to oblivion. Oblivion! Perfectly okay with it, really. No, I'm not. I'm furious. Absolutely furious, potties. Anyway, so that's what's going on with the allotment. But I've got 1.5 coats of paint on the shed, so the slugs can't take that away from me. They can come along with their paint stripping equipment in the middle of the night and take it all off if they want, but I'd be amazed if they managed to do that. So I'm going to end up with an allotment patch that is very well painted and sort of weeded and has absolutely nothing growing in it. Hopefully Sam can cast some gardening magic on it and we'll have some actual produce before too long. Thank you for walking with me, dear friends. It's been an absolute delight to stretch my legs with you this lunchtime. I have loved starting the new series for you, having had a bit of time off for Easter holidays and so on. Thank you for walking with me. Thank you for going to Walk the Pod and checking out how to leave a voice note and how to join the Walk the Pod Lunchtime Walk Club, which is a wonderful online community of walkers all over the world. We will continue to discuss slow productivity for the rest of the series. I'll be recording another 9 episodes on working weekdays between now and the end of next Friday. And we'll cover lots and lots of things that occur in the Slow Productivity book by Cal Newport, which you can also get hold of via walkthepod.com. But also, I would love to know what slow productivity or productivity in general means to you. So do let me know. Take care of your beautiful mind, yourselves, and each other, and I'll be back with episode 2 tomorrow.